in Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. An in-between place, a liminal place, not Galilee, not Samaria, on his way to crucifixion in Jerusalem. The lepers call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Master, the name used by the 12. Have mercy on us, not heal us or cleanse us. Have mercy on us. When he saw them, not heard them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests, as the law prescribed." And as they went, they were made clean. Status relative to the law has little directly to do with health or wholeness, but made clean. It's still significant, though, because unclean means cut off from God. Then one of them, when he saw, seeing again, one wonders about the others. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Proper praising God. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. Paul's for pandemonium. He was a what? And Jesus notes the 10 were made clean, and where are the other 9? Then he says to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well," or whole. You can look at this encounter as a simple lesson in gratitude, in which yet again an outsider, a foreigner, who isn't even the right religion, he's a heretic in fact, gets it, when those of the tradition who really ought to get it just don't. Luke loves this scene, in case you haven't gathered that already. In our first reading from 2 Kings, we hear of General Naaman, the Syrian, commanding the army of Aram, who was also afflicted with leprosy. After some argument, Naaman is healed by following Elisha the prophet's instructions. And this causes him to accept the God of Israel as the only God. Elsewhere in Luke, Jesus refers to this incident when he's reminding his listeners that a prophet is not honored in his own country. He said that there were lepers in Israel when Elisha healed this Syrian general. It's no doubt a good thing to be thankful. You know, research actually indicates that people who live with a sense of gratitude, not necessarily Christians, not even necessarily religious people, but people who live with a sense of gratitude have a better quality of life than those who don't have that outlook. It's true even with grave illnesses. Gratitude, it seems, is good for you. But I think we do a disservice to this odd little encounter if we regard it solely as instructions to be thankful. That, to me, conjures up the kind of emotional strain to manufacture a feeling because one ought to do so. Kind of like childhood thank you notes for really awful Christmas or birthday gifts. It's truly difficult and ultimately unsuccessful when a string is an ought or a should. Or as they sometimes say in 12-step groups, don't and should fall over yourself. We'll see a bit more of this trying too hard next week with the prayers of the tax collector and the Pharisee. See, as long as we're pretending, putting up a front or a mask, hiding our real selves, we really can't be grateful. We might be cleansed, but we aren't made whole. As the psalmist prays in Psalm 19, "Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense." The writer Richard Rohr, in his book Falling Upward, says, "We grow spiritually much more by doing it wrong than by doing it right." That might just be the central message of how spiritual growth happens, yet nothing in us wants to believe it. Those 9 other lepers and we miss the opportunity for blessing when we fail to recognize God's presence and action in our lives. God for it. Not that there's anything bad or wrong about that. God blesses us with that breathtaking indiscriminacy, and we certainly miss that all the time. But we are impoverished when we routinely fail to recognize the opportunity. A sort of side note, does the Sursum Corda and the proper preface at the beginning of the communion service seem redundant? Lift up your hearts to lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks. Maybe that's on purpose, to make sure we're focused, attending to what we're doing. For a prayer that's ancient and fairly economical with words, that one is positively verbose. Our friend, Brother Martin of Erfurt, also known as Martin Luther, once answered the question, what is true worship? His answer, the tenth lever turning back. The tenth lever, the outsider, whose skin and maybe life is a mess and is cut off from God. But also the one who lives Eucharistically. The word Eucharist is Greek for thanks or thanksgiving. The tenth leper lives Eucharistically. He doesn't do what is good and proper and according to the law, that is, go see the priest who can certify him clean. He's not well behaved that way. And actually, as a Samaritan, he had a dilemma anyway. Does he go to what he considers the heretic priests in Jerusalem, or does he go home to the Samaritan fully placed Mount Gerizim? He does not. He is, in Richard Rohr's term, doing him wrong. But what do you expect from an outsider, a Samaritan? For us in the church, who have more in common with the other nine lepers, avoiding the temptation to stay behind the good person mask, the well-behaved mask, avoiding that temptation and trusting God to get in through the in-between places, the flaws and the cracks of our lives and make us whole. To let Jesus see us as we really are, leprosy and all. To let God's grace work on and in and through our deficiencies, our sins, our weaknesses, our not good enoughness. Give praise to God, perhaps even in the worst circumstances when God is nevertheless present. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus says in John's Gospel. This is what he means. And then, to be sent out again, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. In our tradition, the two great sacraments are baptism and Holy Eucharist, and they're really two sides of the same thing. Baptism incorporates us into Christ's death and resurrection. It's done once for all, and as the Book of Common Prayer has it, the bond established by God in baptism is indissoluble. And the Holy Eucharist, the ever-repeating, week-by-week, thanksgiving response to that bond established in baptism. Thanksgiving,